the roughest. While our income is a little higher than those on Social Security supplement income, we're only eligible for Medicare, and our medication is not paid for. If you're on SSI, everything is paid for in total. Doctors know our dilemma. They know what we're faced with it. They should accept Medicare assignment. For people like me and a lot of us, there's about 350 people in Southern Oregon that have MS. We have an average income of $7,000. Women are impacted the most because our earnings have been less. On the other hand, physicians' income is $97,000 to $110,000 per year. Nationwide, only 29% accept Medicare. In Oregon, 21%, and in Lane County, it's 10% that accept Medicare assignment. I think doctors in Lane County could be just a little less greedy. For me, I have five doctors, and only two of my doctors accept Medicare assignment. One of them I never asked for. The other one has a sign in his office that says he accepts Medicare assignment. When I began working in medicine at 19 years old, working as a nurse's aide, I'm now 47, doctors were more concerned about the welfare of their patients than they were about making money. That's changed now.
Fran?
It shouldn't be that way.
Fran, could I ask you to keep your comments in terms of the bill itself, please?
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Okay. I just wanted to give some other examples of some folks that I have several here that are in the same situation as me, with income of around $500 to $600, and have large outstanding bills. I know out of my $18,000 bill last year, I paid $1,300 out of my pocket alone, and I just think this bill would help a lot of disabled and senior people.
Thank you, Fran. Other questions for Fran?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Ford.
It just seems that she probably needs her pharmacist to do the same as the physicians.
My pharmaceutical drugs are all, I always get generics.
But you still have to pay over and above what's compensated by your insurance?
I don't have any.
You don't
insurance.
Have any insurance for drugs.
Medicare and Select Care does not pay for any medication, and I have other medical problems like that I have to take medication for. The most expensive medication problem I have is because I have a neurogenic bladder secondary to my MS, and that drug runs me about $52 a month alone, and I can't go without it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Fran.
I just wanted to make one comment on this amended bill. I think the size of the sign is important for people so that they can see. I know in my physician's office who accepts Medicare assignment that he had a big blue sign there, and it really caught my eye when I walked into his office. The other thing is, I think the wording on the sign shouldn't be very complex for people to understand. I know my doctor's sign says I accept Medicare assignment, and then in little words it says you can't pay me until I receive payment from Medicare, so that way he's not expecting you to pay as you go out. The other thing is, I think this, when you walk in and you see a sign, it helps patients to feel less powerless, and also in a more comfortable position to ask for Medicare assignment. I know for me, it's really hard for me to ask anyone to assist me, and I think a lot of folks are in that same situation. But if the sign's there, it gives me the okay to ask.
Okay, thank you, Fran. Okay, we've got a number of other people that are signed up under Fair Share, and I would assume that most of the testimony from other folks on the Fair Share group would be pretty much the same as the three people that we have heard at this point, or four people. What I'd like to do is ask if there are people who... Let's who might be opposed to this? Is there anybody that would be opposed to this bill? Mr. Gallant, the Oregon Medical Association, you don't have for or against here, are you?
I do have comments about the bill.
Okay, why don't we go to you and then anyone else that might be opposed to the bill?
Chairman, for members of the committee, for the record, my name is Scott Gallant. I represent the Oregon Medical Association. One of the major themes that was discussed in the Senate Human Resources Committee regarding Senate Bill 549 was the difficulty of seniors to, in fact, inquire about whether a physician accepts or does not accept assignment. And as stated today, the alternative that was developed by that committee is they engross Senate Bill 549. One thing that we are concerned about in the bill as it is written is that the second section basically says that a physician is not participating in Medicare in the Medicare assignment program may legally charge your fees in addition to that particular rate. There are two routes that physicians may go under the federal program. One is to accept assignment 100% of the time. The second route is to accept assignment on a case-by-case basis. In Oregon, for example, somewhere around 40 to 50% of all claims filed under the Medicare program are, in fact, on an assigned basis. So, as the language of the bill is structured, while a physician might in fact accept assignment on a case-by-case basis if someone in fact did inquire, which I believe is the intent of this legislation, you are placing a physician who does that in a rather awkward position, because the second sign obviously indicates that he does not do that and might in fact charge above that. So what I would suggest is that the language might instead say that the physician's name accepts Medicare assignment on an individual case-by-case basis. Ask your physician for more information concerning your fees. Secondarily, you might similarly want to change the language in the first portion as well by merely stating simply that the physician accepts Medicare assignment on all cases. Ask your physician for more information concerning your fees.
Mr. Chair.
But again, the intent is...
I think has a question.
Excuse me.
Well, you can finish your sentence first.
No, I was just going to say that the intent of this legislation, again, is to encourage inquiries about Medicare fees, and I think the second portion particularly discourages that.
Well, Scott, Mr. Chair, Scott, I'm concerned that your language would be even more embarrassing for a physician who might have a client come in or a patient and tell that patient, when the patient sees the sign, it's on a case-by-case basis, and that patient has a friend who was accepted and she's not or he's not. I think that could get the doctor in more trouble.
Well, my point, Mr. Chairman, Representative Ford, if I may respond, the second proposed sign there is in this legislation, it ignores the alternative that, in fact, physicians do on a case-by-case basis accept assignment. You're asking a physician to post one of two signs, one that says that the physician is participating and accepts assignment 100% of the time, or in the alternative, that the physician is in fact not participating in the Medicare assignment program, which is in effect not accurate. The third alternative, one that I have not mentioned, is to have a sign that says, Medicare patients, please inquire about Medicare assignment or your fees or whatever, so that it is in fact generic for whether or not the physician accepts it 100% of the time. The fourth point that the committee may want to consider is that there are in fact some physicians who, due to their particular specialty, pediatrics comes to mind, who don't normally treat Medicare individuals. And it might look a little peculiar to have a sign dealing with Medicare assignment when the husband brings in their child to have treatment for whatever reason. But it's certainly something that was not considered on the other side. I'm not trying to make this bill any more difficult, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm just pointing out that this bill does in fact leave a fairly large gap that is in fact very important, because physicians do very often accept the sign.
Scott, I don't even want to laugh. Today is Memorial Day.
That's good.
That's right. So let me tell you something. The doctor is or he isn't. Now, we don't expect the baby to go and try to get Medicare, but we do expect those people who have worked in the society long periods of time to be, for our professionals to be considerate of the contributions they made in the society or their inability to pay the high cost of medical care. I really was one of the people who wanted to seek some kind of alternative, but I can kind of understand that the medical society is not coming up with anything that is sounding very rational at all. And if a doctor is, he is, and if he isn't, he isn't. Now, he need to, and let's not get cute about it in terms of whether he is or he, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want you to be getting upset with me, but that just kind of bugged the wrong part of me.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, Representative Carter, the Medicare program has two options under it. One is to accept Medicare assignment 100% of the time, and the other option is to, in fact, accept assignment on a case-by-case basis. I am not trying to be cute about this. What I'm doing is referring to the bill, which, in fact, misses that part of the program. And I think it's a very important part of the program for the senior citizens of this state as well as in other parts of the country. The national AARP, for example, does not believe that even though it's off this particular bill, that mandatory assignment ought to be instituted because the Congress has not adequately funded Part B Medicare. And that's one of the reasons that I believe the Senate committee did not adopt the original proposal.
Mr. Chairman, just one other comment, please.
Representative Carter.
Scott, see, the thing is, if the onus is on the doctor to discuss with the patient that because of whatever level of the illness this person has, they don't accept Medicare beyond a particular point, that's fine. But for the patient to go in and have the onus on the patient to ask the doctor, does he? I mean, you know what I'm saying? That responsibility should not be there. We're talking about somebody who's seen as being in a very high level of professional position. I always say that being the god of our society. And the average person is going to ask that kind of question.
Mr. Chair? Hold on. Representative Agra?
Well, I think that I disagree a little bit with Representative Carter, because it appears to me, Scott, that the OMA is indeed being quite forthcoming here. It seems to me that you're not objecting to advising the patients by use of a sign, but rather are saying that there ought to be one of three signs, three alternatives. Number one would say that the doctor in this office accepts 100% Medicare assignments. The second sign would say, under no circumstances does this doctor ever accept Medicare assignments. And the third option says, this doctor accepts some on an individual basis, and you're invited to discuss it with the doctor. And that's not, seems to me, and all, isn't that what you're saying?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Agron, yes, that is.
That then would, in fact, encourage the client to know, number one, whether there's no need to discuss it because it is a matter of fact in this office. And the second point, there's no point in discussing it because the fellow has said under no circumstances am I assigning, accepting any assignments. And the third is very frankly saying, I'd like to talk to you about it, so ask me. I don't know that that's all that bad. That is what you're saying. You're not objecting to a sign. You just want to be sure to get one of those three types of information.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Agron, yes, that is okay. What I'm saying.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hammerstedt.
I'd like some clarification. If a physician is not participating in the Medicare assignment program, does that mean that that physician may not participate in it at all? Because the next phrase says, and may legally charge you fees in addition.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hammerstedt, in fact, that's what I'm trying to say. A physician could be participating in the Medicare program, but they don't accept it 100% of the time. Okay, so this particular sign is, in fact, deceptive by saying sign one says you do it 100% of the time. Sign two says he is not participating in the Medicare program when, in fact, he might be because he accepts it on a case-by-case basis. Okay, so that's misinformation, potentially misinformation to the patient. And then it goes on to say that they may charge above that. So, in fact, they may participate in the Medicare program and may, in fact, in those instances, charge above the assigned rate.
Okay, I noticed that Senator McCoy wants to testify, and he's just come into the room. Would you come on up, Senator? Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome, Senator.
Yes, have you finished?
He's done.
Yeah, okay.
This may be the first time Senator McCoy and I have appeared together.
Well,
this
maybe
that is very
you
true.
Stay there, be a little more uncomfortable for a while.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm State Senator Bill McCoy, Senate District 8 in Portland. As you know, we spent some time on this bill in the Senate and have amended it in harmony, I think, with the intent of the federal legislation. A physician is one who who participates in the program, the other is someone who does not. I don't know what more I can say other than that this is a good bill. The Senate spent considerable time on it and would like to have it as we send it to you.
Okay. Questions for the Senator? Representative?
Yes. Yes, Senator. I have a question that's been concerning me on this. The Board of Medical Examiners is going to have to determine the sign, the kind of type, according to, I hope, the federal standard on readability, and have to get that ready and make sure it is readable. They're going to have to notify physicians. They're going to have to get signs out to them. I would much prefer they not do it with an emergency clause on the bill. It seems to me a normal 90 days would be give them time to do the job and get it in place and do it right. How do you feel about that?
I think that that's, that could be accommodated.
Would that be okay?
Yes,
thank
for 90
you.
Days.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hammerstedt.
Senator McCoy, what's your response to the physician being able to decide on a case-by-case basis the participation in the Medicare?
I think that's totally unacceptable with the feds, and it would also be with our committee. I think that we had a very good compromise. Either you participate or you're not. And I think it would be further. It would be very confusing to senior citizens to never know whether or not someone is participating in the program. Because if you're participating today and tomorrow you're not, it's very confusing.
Thank you. Any other questions for the center? Yes. Representative Van Loon.
Two questions, but one, I thought we were just told by someone that the physician has this option. Are you saying that if a physician, that he's either got to take them all of the time or he can't, according to income or something, decide which ones he'll honor the Medicare assignment on?
As I recall,
I have a problem with this, I guess.
Representative Van Loon, as I recall, there's a definition of a participating physician. Either you participate or you don't.
I thought we were just given a testimony opposite of that.
Well, I think the testimony, and Scott, you might correct me if I'm wrong, the testimony was that a physician may or may not participate entirely, but a physician is always at his own discretion able to charge less. Is that?
Mr. Chairman, it is true that if one, under the federal program, if you are a participating physician, you accept assignment 100% of the time. A non-participating physician, while he does and may, in fact, accept the payment by Medicare as payment in full, may not do that 100% of the time. And that's what I tried to address in the suggested either addition or change in that second portion.
All right, Scott, let me see if I understand this. We have a non-participating physician, okay? And I'm a senior, and I go in and I see the sign that, you know, you're the physician and you don't participate. I may, as one witness suggested, ask you why not, and may even talk you into accepting me on an exception basis that way. Is that correct?
Yes, right. Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
See, as I read this particular language, it seems to imply that the physician is not participating, you know, under Medicare at all. At least it can be potentially construed to mean that, even though it says Medicare assignment program. And the intent, I believe, of the seniors, or at least the testimony that I heard on the other side, was at least to encourage physicians, in part, to talk about Medicare assignment, and I think you ought to do that, rather than, in fact, discouraging a senior who goes into a physician's office, sees a sign that says, Dr. Smith is not participating in the Medicare assignment program and may charge you more than that. That might, in fact, discourage the patient from discussing whether or not he or she will accept Medicare assignment.
Okay, but my question, I guess, to you, Scott, is if you were the doctor and we put in some language that said on an exception basis, you know, even though this person is not participating in the assignment program, but on an exception basis they will, would you, as the doctor, want to have each one of your senior patients start, you know, asking you and bargaining with you about the exception basis? That might create more problems than the bill as presently drafted would give you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as I briefly mentioned, approximately 50-60% of the monthly claims are already on an assigned basis, so apparently there is, in fact, a considerable amount of discussion with seniors regarding whether or not they'll accept that payment as payment in full. So I don't think this would necessarily, change what, or maybe it would encourage some more discussion, but I don't think it would be a overwhelming change in those discussions anyway.
Representative Van Loon.
Senator McCoy, do you see Section 3? I assume you've got the bill in front of you.
Yes.
Do you see Section 3, lines 15-18, saying that that physician absolutely cannot take a Medicare person?
No.
Then did I misunderstand
wait, your earlier statement? Let me read that again.
I think the language is permissive, Representative Van Leeuwen.
The may, I guess, makes right. the difference.
They may charge you more or they may not charge you more, and that
That's
would
right.
be a matter of negotiation between you and your physician.
Okay, that same language then is up on the section before that, in the one where they say they're a participating physician.
Oh, it's different language. It's will not. That is not permissive language.
That's not.
No, it says ask your physician for more information concerning your fees. Both of them have that
True.
Language.
But one is permissive language in Section 3, and one is, you know, non-permissive language in Section 2. You can still ask a question about the fees.
Uh-huh.
But it's not a question of whether or not he can charge you more. He can't if he's a...
In the section two.
Right.
Okay. Then I still didn't completely understand your answer, Senator McCoy. You felt that either a physician should be, if I understood you correctly, and this I didn't think you meant it that way, if I understood you correctly, you said a physician would either take Medicare assignments or he absolutely wouldn't. And he had to state it one way or the other. That wasn't what you meant, was it?
Well, I'm sure that the physician may or may not, if he has some individual that he wants to see, he can do that. But we were shooting for the position that either you take them or you do not, to prevent confusion and also humiliation, in a way, of the person. The person should either know one way or the other, whether you take them or you don't take them.
Okay, then earlier in some of the people who were testifying, they brought out the point that if they had the sign there, then they wouldn't be embarrassed by asking when they went into the doctor's office. And I guess what I'm stumbling over is the fact that I'm sure each one of these called the doctor's office and got an appointment. Do they, I mean, to me, at that time would be the time to ask the doctor whether he honored the Medicare assignment or not, rather than waiting till they got into the doctor's office and then saw a sign and then broke their appointment. I mean, at least I mean, wouldn't it be logical to ask when you called for the appointment?
I would think so. Although someone brought up in our committee, sometimes a person does not have a phone. Many people do not have phones. Many times they might be downtown or someplace and get ill and go in to a physician's office. And that might be the occasion when they wouldn't know ahead of time.
Okay, I hadn't thought about the going in, but it's pretty tough to get into a doctor's office for an appointment without a pre-appointment.
Not at the immediate care center.
All right.
Okay. Other questions for the center?
Well,
if not, thank you, Senator.
Yes.
Well, okay. Let's make it quick, folks. Please,
quick.
We have a full schedule.
Senator, would you, as being the author of the bill, have any problem with an amendment that, in addition to the two signs that are listed here, include a third sign that would, like the last one under Section 3, is not participating, perhaps say is not always participating as a third sign? Because we heard Mr. Gallen say there's really three practices. There are some who 100% participating. There are some that are zero and are just not going to have anything to do with it. There are others that do it on a case-by-case basis. And while they don't seem to be objecting to a sign, they want to the patient to know one way or the other.
Representative Agron, let me ask Kevin Coons, is it, come up, and he might better be able to answer that question for you.
But because there appears to be a possibility of...
I think that the...
Please introduce yourself.
My name is Kevin Coons. I'm the director of the Oregon Health Action Campaign, a coalition that has worked on this bill. I think the sentiments that were expressed by the Scott Gallen from the OMA are not quite an accurate depiction of how Medicare works. Participation is a contractual agreement between doctors and the federal government. You are either a participating physician, which means that you agree to accept the assigned rate on 100% of your cases, or you are a non-participating physician. The definition of a non-participating physician is one who agrees, who may or may not charge the reasonable rate. So we really have two cases. Legally and contractually, there are two cases. One is the participating physician, and the second is the non-participating physician, who may or may not charge above the reasonable rate. The language in the bill tries to address
those two
cases.
Excuse me for just a moment, Kevin. Thank you, Senator, for coming over. Okay.
I think that, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. Shows up at your doorstep and says, we're here because we have cause to believe you're operating a board and breakfast. They inspect your house and say, sorry, Representative Agron, in fact, you aren't doing that. Have a nice day. And they leave. Is that what we're concerned with?
Either that or maybe I do have some borders. They still have the right to come pound on my door and have access just because they have cause to believe. What cause? How did they get the cause? Surely there's got to be some legal protections for the... I assume that there are. You see, I may be just looking under the bed. But that seems to me to be awful broad and permissive language.
Mm-hmm.
That it totally, apparently in the judgment of the division, they have cause to believe. Well, is that because somebody called them on the phone anonymously and said, I believe that person is in violation? Or what?
Representative Agron, if we took out has cause to believe and simply indicated are operating without registration, this would put, I think, a greater burden of proof on senior services. But if, in fact, there is a situation where, well, wait a minute. How would they know? They wouldn't be able to prove it.
Yeah. Well,
if they took that language out,
I guess I need to ask a lawyer.
Okay. Could you call Kathleen?
Because.
And we'll take a 2-minute break while Kathleen gets here.
Yeah, it may be that I'm just barking up the wrong tree on this one, but maybe there is some.
Well, we're in recess.
I know we are.
What's your other question, Representative Van Loon?
On one of the child care things, we put in the fact that somehow Rick.
Permitted access if they have cause to believe. Is that a constitutional problem?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, yes, it is. It deals with the question. First of all, it'd have to be reasonable cause, and the safest way one demonstrates reasonable cause, of course, is to convince a judge that one has reasonable cause, and therefore a judge will issue a search warrant.
Okay.
However, it is not... that language is recurring in these various licensing laws relating to residential facilities, and I don't know exactly what the procedure that has been used by Adult and Family Services or Senior Services or the Health Division to seek access, but I think the issue is that when access is refused, as an individual asks for a warrant, they do not persist in making any effort to enter. In other words, there's no door kicking down. If there's consent given at that point, the inspection or entry may be made. If it's refused, I think they either should go back to the drawing board and decide whether they want to pursue it, and if they do, go for a search warrant.
Okay, if I understand what you're saying, then line 26 just gives Senior Services the ability to go to Representative Agron's door and say, we suspect this, will you let us investigate?
Well,
and if Agron's slams the door in their face, then their only other recourse
would...
Okay.
Well, may I make this ask this question? Here I am, and I don't know anything. I'm just a person. And this official person comes to my door and knocks on the door and says that I have cause to believe that you're operating and so forth, and I, by law, am permitted to enter. And you say, well, I'm not so sure. I say, I'm not so sure of that. And the person pulls out a copy of the statute and says, read the law. The law plainly says that we are permitted access to enter and inspect when we have cause to believe that you're... And we have cause. So, therefore, you got to let me in. Now, isn't that a kind of an intimidating statement to a person who really isn't sensitive to these things and may be shy and retiring?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, yes, it is in any instance. If you have ever opened the front door early in the morning and found two police officers standing there, even if they don't say anything, you have to realize it's a rather intimidating circumstance. The doctrines that the law has evolved to handle such situations are called fancy things like fruit of the tainted tree, and that is an improper search that is made under conditions in which consent was not truly given or a search warrant was erroneously obtained, the evidence is not admissible. That is what is supposed to keep the enforcement officials in line. But if you want to consider any changes in the language to clarify the difference between those who, in a sense, are considered to have consented to such inspections because of obtaining the registration and those who simply are being caught up in the question of whether they are in fact in violation of the statute, it wouldn't be very difficult to supply some language to make a distinction between those two kinds of access.
Well, I don't want to delay the process any, but I think it's a point of sufficient importance that it's worth doing.
You will get us some language like that, Kevin?
Very quickly.
Okay. How quickly?
Give me a pen.
You got to
go. There you go. A writing instrument, it's called.
Mr. Chair, while she's doing that, can I discuss another concern that I had up here on section 1, sub 1 of the bill, where it says the division... In the proposed amendment, the division shall establish by rule reasonable standards and so forth. And as I just discussed with you when we were not in session, should that go on to ensure that we're talking about this care being done in a private home and that we're not expecting this facility to be have all of the different things that are required in the bigger facility or the nursing home or whatever else?
That's taken care of.
Well?
That's taken care of because, if I may, Mr. Chairman,
Representative,
this is a facility that is not licensed or registered any other law of this state. That's all in the same. See, and those other facilities that you referred to would be licensed and registered. So what's left is the private home that's taking in some boarders, as I think we understood it before.
Well, I think Representative Van Leeuwen's concern is a little bit different than that, Representative Agron.
Okay.
I think that what she's concerned about is that the rules for these particular facilities go outside the bounds. You know, like maybe they, requiring so many parking places and that sort of thing. And I was wondering if we put the words The division shall establish, this is on line 8, the division shall by establish, shall establish by rule reasonable and appropriate standards. By putting in the word and appropriate. And then we could interpret that word to be appropriate to the circumstances under which, you know, these facilities are offered.
Or maybe all we need to do is for the legislative record to make sure when they establish this that we were talking about not making unreasonable rules for homes that would require them to be remodeled and so forth.
Okay. We can, you know, we can put it on the legislative record, or I would probably feel more comfortable with the addition of the words and appropriate.
Okay. Depending on what appropriate means.
Well, appropriate means, you know, it's like appropriate behavior to the circumstances that the environment that you find yourself in. Kathleen, do you have that language? And we'll take a vote on this thing real quick and let the Republicans go to caucus.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, in line 26, after the word act, and through to where the period is, and to all, it would be compliance with applicable rules and statutes, period. And then the next sentence would read, if the division has reasonable cause to believe facilities are operating without registration in violation of this act, it may apply to the district or circuit court for a search warrant.
Okay. I move that.
Okay. The amendment is moved. Any objection to the amendment? If not, it's accepted.
And one other real quick thing, Mr. Chair, before you go on.
Thank you, Kathleen. We don't need Kathleen here anymore.
Nope.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Is on line 11 and 12, and I think it's explicit here where it says the Senior Services Division may impose a civil penalty. I hope that's with the understanding if somebody were innocently, ignorantly, unaware of the law, that they would not be just slapped with this $200 fine when they were trying to do something for some people.
Right. I think the testimony of the Senior Services Division when we had this bill in public hearing was that what they want to do is get people to register. They're not interested in getting people to pay $200. They're more concerned with the registration. And that's why the permissive language is made.
And is the registration fee of $20 per person when we're talking about the people that they were talking about who are down and out and so forth, is that an unreasonable fee, or should it be something like $10 a year instead?
Well, I think the registration fee is $20, not per person. It's $20.
$20
for the
house.
Oh, okay. We went through that before,
right.
Didn't we?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Representative
If Carter? I may like to call the previous question.
Well, we don't have another motion. We need a chair will entertain a motion for the amendments, the additional amendments beyond the one, the division that we just had from Kathleen,
yes.
With the inclusion of line 8, the words and appropriate.
So
Representative Carter moves those amendments. Discussion. Any objection? Hearing none. They're adopted. Representative Carter.
Carter moves Senate Bill 511 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Carter moves Senate Bill 511 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Carolyn, would you call
Mr.
the
Chair?
Oh, discussion?
Mr. Chair, I cannot support the motion.
Why?
I support the bill, but I think there's a fiscal impact, and I believe that Ways and Means is dealing with the Senior Services Division budget, and it shows a $29,848 general fund, and even more than that, a 0.75 FTE. And I really feel, though I support the bill, that I cannot support it if it doesn't go to Ways and Means.
Mr. Chairman,
Ways and Means doesn't want this bill.
No, it's too small. Below the guideline.
Included with the FTE level?
It's below the guideline.
It does have a prior referral, which you'll have to rescind.
Oh. They told me they didn't want it.
Well, that may be true. You don't have to send it to them.
Are you willing to change?
I don't care. They, you know, they want it, they can have it.
Mr. Chairman, I would retract my motion and give one so recommended.
Okay, Representative Carter moves Senate Bill 511 to Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation as amended. Discussion.
Question.
Okay, Carolyn, would you call the roll?
Representative Ford?
Aye.
Representative Grinch?
Aye.
Representative Hammerstein?
Aye.
I'm going to pass.
Aye.
36 over to the next step.
Aye.
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 All right. Senate Bill 511 has moved to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Now, the committee has a choice. We either go into recess so we can come back on Senate Bill 336, which deals with pharmacies, pharmaceuticals, or we can, just put that on Wednesday's agenda and go a little bit longer on Wednesday. What do you want to do?
Mr. Chairman, concerning the first option, what do you mean come back? Come back when?
After floor session. Okay, we're adjourned.
I don't want to come back.
Senate Bill 336 will be laid over.